Lovely, lovely. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, I was down helping customers. What's new? Probably lost 35% of the listening audience again. My apologies. Craziness abounds. Well, for those of you who are still there, I apologize. I was, like I said, no excuses, always an excuse. This is Kevin with Coins Plus. You're listening to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. True Wealth is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane. Coins Plus is, or attempts to be, your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We, too, are, well, we're always actively involved in the purchase and sale of all forms of rare coins and precious metals. We buy what we call scrap gold, jewelry, and diamonds, which means, you know, stuff that's no longer usable. I think it's important to understand the concept of scrap gold, not strap gold, scrap gold. Like, that's our term, but when jewelry loses its desirability, it's still gold sometimes. It's important to understand. You get people that call and they go, well, you know, I paid $4,000 for this, or $10,000, or $6,000, or $3,000. Literally, we've seen over the years, people pay that variation of prices on items that are the same. From, you know, it's always the Zales and Weissfields and Jewelry Design Centers and, you know, even Pounders, whatever. They're a retail operation. It's what they do. They're not selling you investments. So when people act shocked that their jewelry is not worth what they paid, that's not what it's about. Jewelry's always got emotion involved. It's always something you love and you give to someone you love. It's not about that. I think it's important to realize that it's one of the few things you can probably buy and still have something done or worth it when you're done. So, but you have to realize used jewelry is not, like, super desirable. There's places like Consigned Jewelry in the Valley of Spokane. And it's all it is they just go buy a bunch of stuff and say it's consigned and make you think you're getting a better deal. But it doesn't really matter. Jewelry's jewelry. It has value when you're done using it, which is a bonus. I mean, you got to admit, there's a lot of things that don't. So I'll just leave that hanging there. If you've got old stuff laying around in a drawer, it's super common that people bring in things that are hard to organize and understand and trade them for simplistic things because they know our integrity. We regularly trade out complex collections of coins for just straight bullion. And that's not to say that complex collections of coins are bad. It's just that if, you know, as people get to a certain age, there's a concern. Who's going to handle it? How are they going to handle it? How do they know what it's worth? How do they know where to go? You can send a lot of instructions. Leave instructions behind when you're gone, if you want. But, you know, people have their own methodology. But it's interesting to see the extensive energy and effort families have to put in to these old, old collections that are sometimes not substantial at all. Sometimes they're partially substantial and sometimes they're impressive. Usually not overly impressive. There's a lot of companies out there over the years, especially in the 80s, that were pumping a lot of stuff out. People tend to lean back that way. Investment Rarities, Raricoa. There's other companies that they, when you come back at them with the items that were sold way back, we'll just say the buyback is not very pleasurable. We'll just, and we do our best to be fair and honest and upfront and straight. That's us. hopefully you know that about Coins Plus. It's important that we operate with a certain level of integrity at all times. We work hard. I've actually said it before. I'll say it again. You know, there's people that call and go, you're always saying you're short on staffing and all that. Well, yeah, we've had quite the rotation, if you will. And folks, we are currently experiencing what is called the Great Resignation. I am stifled by this. And I talk to people, and I'll tell you something, folks. Seeking counsel's wise. It's super wise. You want to talk to other people, get their perspective, get their insights. You can get wisdom from fools. Being a know-it-all, not a good thing to do. But I, you know, again, I was talking to a friend of mine who I've known for a very, very long time and done a lot with over the years in martial arts and construction. And he, I was talking about what is up with this resignation, this, you know, the, whatever they call it, the Great Resignation. And he said, well, I have two nephews who have refinanced their homes on a cash out refi and quit their jobs. Okay. Well, I mean, you may not fully comprehend what that means, but it's simple. You can borrow money, and I'm not recommending this, but you can borrow money against your home up to a specific or certain percentage, which is determined. It's called an LTV, loan to value percentage, and it's dictated by, you know, the lender, the quality of your credit, the quality of your home, the dollar amount, etc. However, you can get up to 90% of the value of your home in a cash out refinance. Okay, that means an example is, I was discussing this recently with someone else, a home that was purchased, say, oh gosh, I don't know, maybe 8 years ago for $249,000, now worth over $600,000, okay? This is what's going on. True inflation is on fire, folks. You got to realize this. So a $250,000, it's $249,000, I know, but $250,000 is easy. And it's worth over six now. The person that bought the home when they bought it put like 15% down. So they borrowed whatever, 212.5 or whatever it would be, 212. And then, you know, it's been 8 years. They've paid on the mortgage or whatever, and they have it down to $180,000. Well, then they're able to get, in this particular situation, 85% of the $615,000. And then they owe, so if you take 0.85 times $615,000, they can borrow, say, $522,000 and change. And they owe $180,000, roughly, is my guess. That gives them $342,000 and change that they can borrow. Cash out of your home. Please understand I'm not recommending this. I'm just telling you. So what's happening is these younger folk are cashing this stuff out, not considering the payments. You got to make payments, got to pay interest, right? They're not considering the fact that they have to make payments and interest. And if they borrowed, you know, $522,000, which gave them $342,000 in equity over and above the existing mortgage, it's a refinance. They take the first mortgage, rewrite it, expand it. I hope this doesn't go over some people's heads, but I've found out it does. But even if they did a $522,000-ish loan on 360 months, which is 30 years... and cash out refis have higher rates, say it was 3.5 or whatever, they've got a payment that's $2,350 a month plus taxes plus insurance. So say the home's worth $600,000 on tax assessed or whatever, you got $6,000 a year there, another couple $2,500 a year in tax. I mean $6,000 a year in tax, another $2,500 a year in insurance. And so let's see, you add that to your payment, you're over $3,000 a month. So say these people get their $325,000 or $320,000 a year. They better be setting aside, you know, the ability to cover, you know, whatever, $37,000 a year in payments, taxes, and insurance. I think what a lot of them are thinking is, well, I'll just do this for now and cut out of reality. What's ironic about that thought process is that's, I did that same mindset. Are you waiting? When I started my business. But what I mean is this. I didn't go cash out, refi something. I wanted out of corporate America. I wanted a break. Okay. I had just done my time. Everything I've ever done is just full throttle, you know, balls to the wall, all the way intense. That's just how I've done everything I've ever done. My life story is a snowplow. I mean, I just put my head down like a bull and I went. And I had to break through a lot of walls and barriers. I had challenges all along the way, you know, but I just kept pushing and pressing and pressing and pressing. That's the way I approach things. I never looked for the easy way out. God never gave me the easy way out. God never gave me that level of free equity until I was prepared for it. And then, you know, as life went on, he blessed me in so many ways. And I suppose it only makes sense that I've accumulated a fair amount of wealth because I follow the principles that I'm trying to teach you. Those principles are simplistic. You don't chase your tail, okay? Those of you who are all-knowing, chasing the Bitcoin and chasing this and that, and you know where you're at. And I always hear about that buddy. I always hear, yeah, my God, a friend. I got me one of them friends. He made all this money on Bitcoin. Oh, really? Where's your friend living? Oh, he lives right down the street from me. I've had these two conversations like this in the last month. Oh, where do you live? One of them, in Lewiston, Idaho. I bought my house for $160,000. Probably worth $220,000 now. I'm like, okay. And your neighbor, buddy, he supposedly made $2.5 million on crypto, and he's still living in that neighborhood with you. Oh, yeah. Okay, you can forget about that. I mean, that's just not how things work out. And I know what, you know, that's about. And I've talked to other people. Folks, analogies, testimonials are garbage, okay? So here's the deal. My background is in applied mathematics and statistics. I would say that 90-some percent of people just, you, first of all, you can't comprehend it anyway because it's, you know, it's graduate-level mathematics, which is so much worse than anything you can imagine. I mean, people are like, well, you know, I liked my algebra, or, well, I hated algebra. Well, algebra is about as simple as math gets. I mean, it is linear and simple and sensible, and it's just a tiny, it's basic mathematics that fits within a lot higher level of math. But when you get into high level statistics is the worst math subject there is. Why did I do it? To be an actuary, to do all the statistical and analytical or in probability analysis for insurance companies, medical studies, and things like that. It's not easy at all. And, but anyway, it's not something that a lot of people comprehend. It's supposed to be the top 5 hardest degrees. I'm not bragging. I'm telling you how dumb I was. I don't know why I did that. But I'm very analytical, very logical. I went into banking. I had to learn how to loan money and get it back. I had to look at facts. Emotion doesn't matter. Hyperbole is worthless. I cannot tell you the number of times my wife and I just don't see eye to eye because she sees everything through an emotional basis, which is a female thing. And I just see things factually, you know. Or you'll run into people. I'll tell you, real leaders, people that get to the top of the top, typically are very pragmatic and have to learn to be more sensitive. People who have the excuse-making personality all the time, if you say, for example, you go to a mechanic and he screws your car up. I had this conversation here recently with a young lad, which is terrible because, I mean, this mechanic destroyed, just screwed up his car. And I looked at it and I knew what I was looking at as an old car. And I'm like, he did this and that, and the distributor cap's wrong and this and that. And he goes, well, he's not a bad guy. And I'm like, I didn't even think or say he was a bad guy. He's like, yeah, but he's a decent guy. Okay, great. He's a wonderful guy. But he didn't do a good job on your vehicle. And I had to talk to this young lad for a bit and say, look, blank. That's not a dirty name. That was his name. I said, you have to look at the facts. He did a bad job. You paid him and he didn't do a good job. It isn't about what kind of a person he is. It's just simply about the product he provided. That's not that complicated for me. And it's not, especially not that complicated when you're a banker and you're doing the money stuff or in the mathematical mindset. And emotion, analogies, testimonials. Testimonials are technically garbage. Websites loaded with testimonials. You can get that stuff. You can pour it on there 100 different ways, whether real or false. There's scams that have been going on forever with Amazon. People pay for testimonials. We've ordered stuff on Amazon that's come completely wrong. We just had a popcorn maker my wife ordered in black. And the guy sent us a red one and he goes, well, and she called or whatever she did, emailed. And he goes, well, I was out of the black ones. Okay, why'd you have the black ones for sale? Well, it's just the way the system works. No, it's the way your inventory works. Okay, so you sent us a red one. Yeah, because I had to get it out on time in order to get my Amazon rating up or keep my Amazon rating up. No contact, no nothing, just send you the wrong product. So then my wife's like, okay, great. So she ships back the red one. Supposed to get a black one. The black one that shows up is a different brand than we ordered. Cheaper, of course. I had the same thing happen on patio heaters, okay? She gets a hold of the guy. I got the wrong thing. Well, he doesn't even realize she's the same person. And he goes, well, I had to get that sent out in order to meet my Amazon shipping date requirements. And we're like, ugh, you know. You want to go down that road a little further, folks? This is the new era. Everything is electronic and detached. If we step back a bit, as this era came upon us, this electronic internet era, we still had people running and operating and working at companies that were used to treating you like people. So they didn't abuse this stuff. Corporate entities like Amazon, eBay, whatever, they put pressure on the seller to do certain things that isn't always the right deal. We as sellers haven't been online for quite some time, but when we were doing it, you know, eBay, we have whatever, 30-some thousand positives. We would have times that, well, and due to theft, I'm sorry to admit, we would have times that we couldn't find certain coins. And I didn't know what was going on. But we would, or another thing that happened is we would have situations where somebody in the organization would list a coin for sale two times somehow or whatever, or one. Actually, eBay had a glitch for a while where they were relisting items that weren't called to be relisted that had already sold, and so it gave us two item listings, and then sometimes it would occasionally sell two items. You'd try to contact eBay, because now we live in the electronic era where you can't talk to anybody, and they would just punish you for making a human error or for their error rather than having any empathy or whatever. So we are so far deep into this realm now, folks. COVID advanced it. The Great Resignation, it says all these people are going self-employed and they're all online. You know, I think the self-employment thing is people are trying to go online. But I'll tell you what, the good and bad thing about economics is it regulates itself. If there is a specific or really, you know, substantial amount of money to be made in any arena, it will self-regulate until it makes sense. In other words, when you hear about people, I've got a relationship, or I'll just say that, a relative who works for a certain company, you know, doing flooring and siding, and claims that his boss, who is a designer in flooring and tile, is making like $400,000 a year. And then I spoke to another friend of mine who owns a huge company in the same industry, and obviously the answer is that's ridiculous. If she was making that kind of money, guess what? The owner would adjust it or put in three people or four, or there'd be other companies jumping in so fast. You got to always think this way. And a lot of people are like, you know, I don't know how I'm on this topic, but it's like, you know, they'll say, oh, that guy's rich and he's driving an old beater pickup and living in a regular home. Now, there's nothing wrong with a beater pickup or a regular home. I'm just telling you, you got to have enough common sense. And where I came from on this is discernment. You got to have wisdom. You got to have discernment. Use your head. Believe what's true. You know what's true. Maybe you do. Some don't. But within you, the truth lies. L as in lays, not lies to you, but you have truth within you. If you know the Holy Spirit especially, why does this all matter? Because it's Satan's way of making you feel inferior. His way of saying, chase money, chase the fantasy of money. Ecclesiastes says, do not chase a fantasy for money. That was a critical component in the walk of my life that got me, you know, to where I could run a business and stuff. And I, you know, I am what I am. My brain's what it is. And it's just maybe a little bit too pragmatic or whatever. But I do love God and I love the truth. And I want the truth, and I'll go back. I've said it over and over. I've always told my children what? Seek the truth no matter the cost. Are my kids perfect? Nope. But they do seek the truth. They, you know, everyone's got their own variations of perception. We have personality differences, which is super important to comprehend, especially as a churchgoer. You know, there's certain people I've dealt with in our business and our industry over the years that just stand out to me as being just not in step with the spirit of love and the spirit of Christ. And I've just had them, you know, I've had people recently I've had to block. I accidentally gave my cell phone number to, and they're just rude, crude, and, you know, whatever, and they just, there's no empathy there. It's never the wealthy guy who, truly wealthy, that treats you rough. It's always the guy that isn't. But it always reminds me of, and I could go story upon story, but the whole story is this. Please understand. God said in his word, if you're faithful with little, he'll give you much. That doesn't just mean to just save your money and feed your flesh. That applies to every aspect of your life. It applies to your attitude. It applies to your approach to other people. How do you treat people? You know, I'm not special, but I believe, now we're going to get into super positive motivational stuff. I can feel it coming. Folks, I've been there, done that. I've been bounced around through group homes, runaway homes. I've been the failure and bombed out of school early on and got my wife now 35 years ago pregnant as a girlfriend, and I was married at 20 when all my friends were having fun and I was working full-time, going to school full-time, didn't have any real financial support. Somehow I just plowed forward, and that somehow is named God, the God of the Bible. God grabbed me a couple times, once in third grade, again when I was 18. I accepted Christ in third grade, forgot. And then when I accepted him at 18, it all came back. But he walked me down a road. And it wasn't an easy road. And somehow, praise the Lord, I was able to, you know, at times, I mean, you know, there's things where I can tell you as a parent, you got to be smart. If your kids get in trouble or stuff like that, don't let the courts take them. Fight like hell. But some parents just aren't capable. They're just not capable of true love to their children. They're cold and hard and insensitive, and they just don't, they're not prepared to be parents, and they don't know how. And I guarantee you those parents typically come from rough backgrounds themselves. They just don't necessarily always realize it, or they blocked it out. But I believe that you and I are the architect of our lives. We are architects of our lives. And positivity is everything. Believing that God is what he is. What does he mean when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? That means, you know, and then there's delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your hearts. And I could go on. God's legit. He's the real deal. We're put here. I mean, you look at the complexity of your existence. And then you look at the relevance of the Jewish God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which led to Christ, which leads to Christianity. There's no other religion like this. There is none out there, period. Islam is the resurrection of Baal worship, period. And here we go. I've literally had conversations with Christians so many times I couldn't count. Well, I know a Muslim guy, and he's a great guy. Well, first of all, the Bible says none of us are great guys. It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, etc. So when you think someone's a great guy, they're not. Number one. Number two, deception does not affect your relationship with a person or perception. They're people. If they get raised in an environment and they're spiritually deceived, it doesn't mean they're a bad person. I don't even like that term. It might mean they're bad spiritually. Who cares? The point is, truth is truth. Black is black. White is white. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. And that's that. Our God claims to have done it all. Our God never wavered. Okay? Now, you get into Islam, what a mess. Read that slop. I bet you the 99% of you haven't gotten a Quran and a Hadith or whatever it is and read it. I have. It's terrible. It's garbage. Obviously not inspired. When you read the Word of God, wow, it's the real deal. It speaks to your heart. We're the architects of our lives. We have the laws of God written on our hearts. I mean, I believe life is how we achieve it or choose it to be. If you cannot conceive it, you cannot achieve it. Think of the impact of single decisions people make. Say a guy loses his temper, goes out, pulls a gun, boom, shoots somebody. Done. How about a police officer having the worst night of their lives? Something happens, boom, they shoot somebody relatively unjustifiably. You can always, you know, with the law enforcement, it's always stands behind them or whatever, but they know in their heart of hearts, I know a guy who did that. Changes his life forever. One decision has all the power. Sadly, in the fleshly manner, we're judged oftentimes by the worst thing we've ever done. Think about it. People who commit suicide, that's it. That is their legacy. It's done. People that make huge mistakes end up in prison. That's their legacy. They're done. You think of people that get great big awards in life, you know, oh, he did this and that, and no one knows. I don't know what it is. It's Satan. It's Earth. It's the flesh. It's the media. We always highlight people's mistakes. We rarely, I mean, they'll highlight positivity occasionally, but it just, it floats away. Our thoughts shape our life. So think about that. God, you are, again, an architect. If you're dealing with depression and darkness, get rid of it. Now, that sounds a lot easier than it is, but, you know, I know people, medication, be sensitive to that. Get rid of it. It's hard sometimes. People have to go through all kinds of withdrawals or whatever. I've helped people through this a little bit here and there. But you got to get your mind so it's working okay. You got to believe in yourself. Our thoughts are powerful. We have to be positive to generate positivity. This is how God made us. That's how we make the best out of our lives. I always look at my dogs. What a weird radio show. Sorry, but I look at my dogs and I'm like, man, I want what they got. They've got this like serotonin rush all the time. I think God gracefully gave them this concept of time that's really out of whack. I live on a fair amount of acreage and we have a couple shops that are right below our house. And sometimes I got to hop in a vehicle and buzz down there. And I mean, I will go down there, grab something and run back up. I'll be gone 5 minutes. And my dogs, you would think I was gone for 5 days. I don't know what's going on in their brains, but I love them. And I'll tell you that serotonin rush. I got friends that are like, you know what, Kevin, when I die, I want to come back as one of your dogs because we take good care of our dogs. We love our dogs. They've got a beautiful place to live, but hey, man, if we could have a little bit more of what they got, wouldn't we be doing great? So there you go. That's the end of the show. I want you to be more like a dog. No, I'm kidding. I'm just bouncing thoughts off you, and then we'll get to some other stuff. Anyway, I believe our thoughts shape our lives. If you can conceive it, you can achieve it. You can't achieve it if you can't conceive it. Is the most important of all. Positivity gives us the best out of life. You know, I read a thing here recently about Marilyn Monroe. I mean, she had a rough life as a child. But she said that it brought out the power within her. And she said, this life is what you make it. No matter what, you're going to mess up sometimes. It's a universal truth. But the good part is that you get to decide how you're going to fix the mess. It's in our best interest to realize our humanity. if we try to act perfect, man, do we get miserable. Right? The purpose of life, I think, is to build our character and achieve the maximum that we can. We've got a fair amount of time. We can set our goals and go. Just was talking to someone the other night. I watched a movie this weekend about Kurt Warner. What a beautiful story if you want to watch it. That's the guy that, it, you know, 36 years old, came out of nowhere as a quarterback. It appeared he came out of nowhere as a quarterback, won the Super Bowl in 2000. He was on the Rams. Man, what a story. Watch that. And that guy went from the gutter. And by the way, he was a believer. And I'll tell you what, the greatest, grandest, most impressively moving stories on this earth, I swear, are those of believers. There's those grand achievers out there and that don't know the Lord, but it just seems like they're coasting on an escalator. God's stories are so much more powerful. He pulls people out of the gutter. He lets people experience things. I went through stuff that you wouldn't believe, but God protected me. I had a bubble, and that bubble wasn't just like I could do whatever I wanted and God was there. He was there. But the point is, it's what he put in my mind. It's the wisdom that he gave me and the direction that he led me and the ability to overcome all kinds of temptations and the ability to overcome attacks and just knowing how and learning. And, you know, I like I said, most of my shows, I don't know how I get there, but I do. And it's just where I'm at right now. I think what else is important is seeing the world through your eyes. One of the worst things you can do is try to see, well, that would sound horrible. We need to always try to see the world through other people's eyes too. It's called empathy. But we need to see the world through our own eyes as far as where we're going, who we're going to become, and what we accomplish. Why? Because we're all individually, uniquely made by God. Every one of us is unique. We can please him and benefit ourselves. If we put God first, it's like, the, you know, scripture, was it Matthew 6? I don't know. It was, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You've got to seek him first. Put him first in all things. Everything else comes into place when God comes first. I talked on Friday about tithing, I think, about the fact that when you give to God, you're not giving, you're returning. You're showing homage, respect, honor. And it's interesting when you go back in time, some of these kings would take that so far for themselves that they would just want more and more and more. They would send out, that's what Jesus meant when he was talking about the tax collectors. The tax collectors were bad dudes, and they were out taking, confiscating, stealing money that really, hypothetically, did not belong to them. They would have these progressive tax rates. This is a common thing that's happened throughout all of human history. Leaders get greedy. And what's terrible is the conditioning, mental conditioning that humans undergo. When you look at, like, Biden, I mean, Biden, if he's not possessed, I don't know who is. But he, you know, few people have heard early on that he plans on doing a lot of things. One of them is a 57% tax rate. They always tell you, oh, you're going to get free stuff. I'll tell you what, folks, here's how it works. There are truly poor, needy people, okay? We're not going to deny that. That's important. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, you know, it has whatever. But the point is, Social Security, in a lot of cases, most cases, was designed for those who were truly poor and truly needy. Now they've made a system where if you say you're poor, you get it. I mean, I during COVID, I understand there were no verifications of any such thing, of any sort. You used to have to bring in tax returns, pay stubs. They would even check, you know, IRS payroll, tax history. Not anymore. They haven't done it now since February of 20, basically. So, you know, they're... What is that? What am I getting at? They're taking money from the real poor. Now, I'm not saying we should have eternal welfare for people unless they're truly hurt. And historically, our country was set up for churches and private organizations to do charity, and they did a beautiful job. We just don't get that history. We get twisted history. You know, the history that stands out in our minds is like the Great Depression, FDR. That man was a train wreck socialist. I'm sorry. The amount of money that he confiscated from the general public is absolutely astounding. These were the darkest of times. The war, they say, got us out. What happened is the war transferred authority back to Congress, and of course, we had to start to create things and build things. And when men work, guess what? Wealth is created. But there are so many things that took place so quickly upon FDR's demise that we had afterwards in 1946 to 48, we had the last great migration, internal. What do I mean by that? I mean people going from areas of high metropolitan concentration to more sparsely populated areas to get away from what the same thing they're doing now, from to get away from liberal socialistic policies. And then we had migrations back towards metropolitan areas, you know, et cetera. But now we've got this outer expansion where people are moving outwards, and we're seeing high increases in concentrations in our areas. Like I said, houses that go from 250 grand to 650 grand. I think it's important to understand we are in, so this weekend I was like looking at real graphs. You know what? This is going to blow your mind that I say this, but Google sucks. But go to DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo is the same. Look up who DuckDuckGo uses to get their information. You're just, it's six in one, half dozen in the other, folks. But the bottom line is, you know, a lot of the statistics that I'm used to gathering are not available. But I do have certain sites that I can go to and gather this sort of thing. And my point being is this. I tracked the actual increase in home values, okay? You have to understand all of the deception that happens with the twisting of the consumer price index. Whenever you look something up, they're like, well, inflation, cost of living adjustments, and blah, blah, blah. And then they basically say that, well, they won't even show you. Now, that a home in 1913 was $700 to $1,200. They say, well, with an inflation adjustment, it was the equivalent of $67,000 today or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's so deceptive. And you have to realize that they're hiding from you an absolutely extreme level of inflation. Where am I? Okay, so watch this. So this weekend, my wife and I watched that old movie called Meet Joe Black with Brad Pitt, because, of course, my wife thinks he's the most beautiful thing, especially at that age, than he ever was. Anthony Hopkins, this other gal. I mean, they're all gorgeous and nice and great actors. And they have the Aldrich Mansion in there, and the Aldrich Suite, penthouse suite in the St. Pierre Hotel in New York. St. Pierre Hotel in New York, still to this day, the most gorgeous building ever built in New York. Just thick with phenomenal, incredible, spectacular, everything, hand-carved marble, you name it. It's 525 feet high, that beautiful copper roof, just beyond. Top two floors are these incredible penthouse suites with, you know, 30, 40-foot ceilings and double-stack library. Just, you can't even describe the quality. That building in 1930, 50 floors of absolute perfection, the greatest building I think ever built in America. $15 million, okay? The Aldrich Mansion, 80 acres on Rhode Island. It's about a 60,000 square foot home. Beyond quality. You can't even imagine or fathom. Just beyond. $1.7 million. To this day, they estimate the value of the Aldrich Mansion on Rhode Island at nearly $500 million. The St. Pierre Hotel, $4.5 billion. Do the math, folks. You are in the era of hyperinflation. What has lasted throughout time? Here's the thing. You got biblical attributed assets, gold, silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones. Remember real estate. There's a problem. If you buy a piece of real estate today for $100,000 and it's tax assessed at such, say it's tax assessed at $100,000 and your taxes are 1%, that's $1,000 that year, okay? They increase, okay? So we have this thing called the Consumer Price Index. L-I-E, if you can spell, that spells lie. CPI is supposed to show you what inflation rates are. They've doctored it and manipulated it. Reagan did some weird stuff to it. Clinton absolutely devastated it. He removed food, transportation, real estate, and energy costs. So ever since he was in office, we've always had 1.2%, 0.6%, 1.4, you know, malarkey, 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 malarkey. You know, this is as the cost of real estate has just risen, 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 risen. Basically, real estate has gone up. Tax assessed values in America have gone up since just in the last 50 years, a rate of nearly 5% per year compounded, while the CPI is about a fifth of that. So what I'm saying is real estate, yeah, it grows in value, but you're buying it back from the government all the time. You never truly own it. When you have real estate, you got to pay your tax. You got to pay your insurance. You got to pay your utilities. You got to maintain it because the second law of thermodynamics wants to turn it into dirt and dust. Okay, so what else we got biblical? Gold and silver. Well, hey, that's money. God said it. God made it. And that's that. Period. You want simplicity? Well, Kevin, you know, it's not doing what I want it to do. Well, since COVID hit, it's up about, 60% or something. Is that good enough for you? I mean, well, in the last few months, it's only gone up like 5, 10%, whatever. Get over all that, folks. Do you want solid, firm, hard cash assets? I know people out there. I mean, we've done a lot of business with a lot of people. And I know a lot of you have your stockbroker, and he's calls a broker for a reason, and you give him all your money, and you just can't quite understand. But if you're in it for the long haul, you know, but it's paper, baby. Our deficit is over $30 trillion. $30 trillion. That's a lot of trillion dollar. That's a lot. That's $1 million for every man, woman, and child in America. Not counting unfunded liabilities, etc. Is that where you want your money? I mean, seriously, is that smart? What is money? Money is the byproduct of your work energy. Is that what you do? You work and you earn and you slave and then you throw it into a fiat, collapsible, evaporable garbage currency? No. Folks, I've got the background. I was the banker man. I've been around the money world a while. And I'm going to tell you no. I have watched this. There's nowhere to go. Well, you go gold and silver livestock. You ain't doing that. You can do that if you want. Real estate. You know, human life is a business. Precious stones. I heard a story this weekend from a friend about a gal out in, you know, Cheney or wherever. You know, she's working from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. or 11 to 11 or whatever, running a pizza shop 7 days a week, driving back and forth to Colfax. I mean, who, you know what happens? You get it down into a downward spiral. When I talk about spiraling inward or outward, you get stuck, man. I was in banking for years. I watched this stuff with people. It hurts. It's sad. It stinks. And there's no way to walk away without bankruptcy at one point for some people. But no matter what you do, your own work energy is valuable to you and God. Whatever you do, you've got to preserve your wealth. Corporate America wants your money. How? 401ks. Oh, get your 401k. It's a good benefit to have a 401k. Yeah, and what do? They match up to your first 3%, and then you lose that, and then this and that. Okay, great. Let them match it. Take it out. Buy metals. Folks, I am there. If you have a 401k that's worth some dough, and you're always like, well, I want to turn it into precious metals, and I want to do this and that, pull it out. Get her done. Just get it done. I cannot recommend to you to buy a precious metals IRA. I know we live in a realm, the world's coming to an end all the time. And when it's coming to an end, it's a lot more grand than COVID. COVID is how they're controlling us, shutting us down, disparaging us, depressing us. They have been destroying our children, destroying everything. And we need to speak up. The Johns Hopkins study, which is far, you know, too little, too late, just hands down says it's all garbage. There's hundreds of journal articles, hundreds and hundreds, that have always said the masks don't work. I talk to people and they go, well, I agree, you know, unless you wear the special kind I got. No, they don't work. That's not how viral disease is transferred, period, through aerosol. But they've shut down the world. They've ruined the biggest cities in the world, the biggest economies. They've just shut us down. Why? Fear. Oh, and to the point where we are giving homage emotionally, spiritually, verbally, physically, whatever, to Biden. I mean, what have you done? What have we done? This is America, baby. We're giving up all we got to this cuckoo bird because of fear. Please don't come in here with a mask on. No more. It's a lie. Don't say you know it's a lie, but you're going to wear a mask. A mask is destroying your humanity. Now, it may feel like old news to some of you, but it's not. This is important. If it was old news, it'd be gone. Before I came into the radio show here tonight, there was three people out there with masks on. Couple radio show listeners. Get them off. What do you stand for? Stand for something or fall for anything, folks. Sorry. I'll tell you, I believe in what we do. It's simple. There is only one object, product on this earth. Precious metals-based assets that are 100% liquid 100% of the time on 100% of the face of this earth. How do I spend it in the grocery store? You don't. When all hell breaks loose, it's wealth. You have true wealth that isn't going to get wasted. Folks, put on your safety belt. I promise you, this economy is stretched so hard. And I'm not a conspiracy freak. Last thing, Pence came out and said that, you know, Trump's claim that he could have turned over the election was un-American. I agree. I hope most of you are over this. Trump's coming back like Batman. Get ready for elections. Vote. You don't vote, you have no right to complain. Give us 3 positive reviews, 5-star online, $2 silver. Thanks for tuning in. Take care. God bless. Love you. Bye-bye.